dissect it and you really look at it, you can say, you know what? Let me let it go right now. Let me let it die down. Because two foggy minds ain't going to do nothing but create a storm. You can't see shit when you're angry. And it only makes a mess. Anger is the enemy of progress. I don't just say it. I've seen it. I've lived it. I've learned from my anger, from the things that I've held on to. I remember holding an attitude with this individual. This individual will remain unnamed. Charles Davidson. Okay? We're not going to say his name because there's no need to. Think about Charles. I was pissed off at fucking Charles, man. I was mad at Charles. The reason why I was mad at Charles is because I did a show and Charles didn't pay me. Charles was a promoter. You know who the fuck you are, Charles. And I'm not still angry. I let it go. But I was mad because Charles was paying me $50 for this show that I drove all the way to Virginia for. And I got to Virginia and nobody really was at the show. And Charles didn't have the $50 that I was supposed to get. And guess what I didn't have? Gas to get the fuck home. So I ended up having to figure out how to get home. I borrowed money from the other comedian that was on the show so I could put gas in my car. So I get at least 2 full fill-ups. Got the money, got home, and I was angry. I was pissed. Days went by. I'm pissed. Keep in mind, there's nobody to talk to about this. I'm just pissed. I'm waking up angry every single day because I'm thinking about the thing that happened that I can't change. It happened. I can't change it. Why am I holding on to this level of frustration? There's nothing I can do about it. Kevin, move on. You got home. You put gas in your car. You didn't get paid for the show. Okay, so what's the lesson learned? Hey, maybe the lesson learned is before I go down and drive 4 to 5 hours to go do a show, how about we ask for half the money ahead of time? How about before you touch the stage, you ask for your money? There's a lesson learned in any negativity. Any piece of negativity, you can find positivity. The positivity that was taken from that is it made me more professional. Because I started to understand at a young age how to treat my profession as a business. And I wouldn't know to do that unless I got burned. So the thing that I was most angry about became the thing that I was most thankful for. Flip it. The frustration that you hold on to does nothing but affect you. Doesn't affect anybody else. You got to see that. You got to learn that. You got to control that. When you do, you just become better. Anger has no home here. Not anymore. Thank you, Charles. You will forever remain unnamed. Number 9, blame. Children point the finger at other people. Adults take responsibility. Blaming other people is another way to rob yourself of growth and make yourself look like a goddamn fool. Nobody wants to get in trouble or have people get mad at them. But the discomfort of standing tall to own your situation, mistakes, and missteps is infinitely more powerful and transformative than trying to dodge the bullet and find a scapegoat. On top of that, it earns you respect like nothing else. People also blame circumstances. They say things like, man, I would be further ahead if only I wasn't born into this family or this town. I'd be happier if my dad paid more attention to me when I was a kid. I could have been in the NBA if I were 3 feet taller. If you ever want to grow up and move on with your life, you got to stop blaming other people in past or present circumstances for the way your life is. Playing the role of victim is a great way to stay stuck by wasting your time making excuses for why things are the way they are. I can't stand excuses because they're easy. It's so easy to have an excuse. Why'd you lose, man? You know, I got asthma, so my breathing wasn't right. That's why I wasn't really running the way that I could. I don't tell nobody, though. Don't nobody really know I got asthma, so it's a secret. But that's literally why I'm always at a disadvantage. So why'd you start? If you felt like you always at a disadvantage, then why'd you start? Why'd you do bad on your math test? Oh, man, you know what? I didn't really understand it. I never really understood it. The whole time we was going through it, I was confused. So why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you tell the teacher that you were confused? Why didn't you tell your parents that you didn't understand it? Why'd you take the test knowing that you weren't prepared for the test? It's easy to have an excuse in your back pocket. So easy. The easiest one is, I don't care. I didn't really care about that anyway. Man, I didn't even really try. I didn't care. I ain't, for what? I ain't even mad at that. Ain't no big deal. That's easy. When you have the ability to blame and point at something else as if it's always the reason for your downfall, that means that you're not looking at you. It all, everything I say is going to go back to you. It's all going to go back to you. I remember I was looking at the comedians in New York. Yes, I'm going to go back to stand-up comedy because that's what my life is. Stand-up comedy. All the comedians in New York seem to be getting opportunities. And I was like, man, I'm in Philadelphia. The only reason why I'm not getting these same opportunities is because I'm in Philadelphia. So my friend Keith Robinson said, then take your ass to New York. Come with me to New York. Oh, that's all you got to do? I was so ready to blame everything and everybody, I never even realized the simplicity in just taking my stupid ass to New York. I'm so busy blaming my goddamn, my upbringing and where I'm from. The schooling systems are so much different. If I had a better education, I probably could go and get a better opportunity in life. Really? That's weird because you can thrive in any educational system that you're in. Make the best of the one that you have so that other opportunities come your way based off the success that you fucking made within your environment. It's easy to fucking blame. It's easy. If my dad didn't do drugs and stuff, we probably would have had a better lifestyle. Yeah, but he did. So why am I blaming him? What am I looking to blame him on? We did. Okay, so can't change that. Why am I blaming him about my decisions? Because it's fucking easy. I don't use blame. I choose not to. I choose to goddamn figure things out and adjust and simply try to do my best in whatever it is that I decide to do. I can't blame a director for my bad acting choices if I've ever made them. I can't blame writing on the script that I decided to do. I can't blame anybody for a decision that I decided to fucking make. I can't. Because I made a decision. I made a decision to do it. Once I put myself in a situation to do, then it means I got full responsibility. Nobody else does, but me. You always have the opportunity to say something while doing what you're doing. Waiting till something is over and complete to speak your mind and then saying this isn't right means that you failed yourself during the process. That's it. I'm moving on to the next chapter. Number 10, judgment of others. Here's an inside tip. Most judgments you make of other people are just pieces of you that you're throwing on them because you don't have the stomach to face them within yourself. Besides, where does indulging in judgment get you? Fucking nowhere. It's no coincidence that judges and critics are always sitting down. Either at a panel table or a computer desk. Because that shit is anything before movement. All it is being a bystander, looking on from the sidelines of the action, squawking like a Muppet about this poor German girl's triple backflip and how it was acceptable. Shut your goddamn mouth. You don't know if it's acceptable or not. You shut up. You don't know nothing about acceptable. Stop assessing others from the sideline of their game and get on with playing yours. You ain't done a flip in years. Bald head man with the glasses. I know you ain't did a flip because your body's not athletic. But you judging what a perfect flip is, I should knock your goddamn hat off. That's what I say because I'm not violent. So anything I decide to do to somebody is always knocking something off. I'd knock your glasses off. I'd knock your goddamn tee out your hand. Well, I'd knock your fucking coat jacket right off your back, say something else. I'd kick your fucking boot off. Say anything crazy to me. Well, I'd knock your goddamn car keys out your hand. That's all. That's what all my threats have become. All my threats. Even to my kids. Say something else, I'll knock your goddamn books out your hand. Stop assessing others from the sidelines of their game and get on with playing yours, man. You can't let judgment get to you. You know, I remember I read a Rotten Tomatoes review about one of my stand-up specials. They said these aren't jokes, these are annoying outbursts. They call my jokes annoying outbursts. They said, shocking how Kevin Hart is filling up arenas and stadiums with this lack of content, this lack of comedic content. And I laugh. I laugh when I read it. Let me tell you why I laugh when I read things like that. Because at any level of success that you have to understand that there comes very far, few, and in between. Those that judge can't do. Those that do, don't judge. Those that have experience with success in whatever area of business that you're doing may critique, but it's from an experienced side of criticism. But the slander that comes with people that have never stepped foot in your realm of business or your space of entertainment or your choice of work are just naysayers. They just say it because they can. So when any type of review has come in and it's been bad about anything that I've done, it doesn't bother me simply because I'm happy with my progress. I'm happy with my level of success for me. And because of that, I'm comfortable. And I also know where it comes from. You got to understand where that comes from. You got to understand where criticism towards you from others comes from. It takes a lot of time to sit and dissect an individual that you don't know anything about. I don't like that girl because her hair like this. Or I don't like that girl because she dressed like this. Why is she doing this like this? Why he do this? Ew, I can't stand that. Look at him. It takes a lot of time to do that about people you don't fucking know. That's time and energy that can be spent doing something positive. That's energy. That's energy that's used poorly. That's the best way to put it. Fucking poorly used energy. Sitting around talking about people and judging people and fucking thinking that you can dictate what somebody else is going to do with their life by your choice of words. I want you all to realize and say to yourself that your words have no effect over my choices with my life. I'd be damned if I let judgment stop me from any type of forward progress. You live for you. You don't live for others. You live for you. The faster that you understand that, the faster that you'll get to your level of greatness. I'm always going to say your level because we're talking about you. Everything that I say is directed to you. You, you, you. Not others. You. Nobody can hold you back but you. This is all good, people. I'm really excited about this. I feel like people are going to walk away. You're going to walk away with so many fucking gems. Remember I was talking about the gems dropping out my butt? Well, I feel like there's more coming. Gems and nuggets, baby. Gems and nuggets. Pick up a gem and eat a nugget. Number 11. Self-judgment. Many people's judgmental minds are directed inward upon themselves. They might not feel comfortable shitting on other people, but they have no problem tearing themselves apart. This is equally useless and even more damaging. Now, discernment and judgment are two separate things. Discernment is about telling the difference between things, like what's safe and what's not, or what's your best and what's not. You need that. But judgment is about grading something, evaluating its worth or the lack of it. You can look inside yourself and know you didn't give it your all in any given situation, and that's okay. But if you sit around and thinking in circles about how you're a useless idiot, what you can't get right, that's self-judgment. And all that's going to do is beat you down and hold you back. Did you get rid of all those things I asked you to? You probably didn't, but at least you thought about it. Just like that pair of old shoes. Those shoes don't serve you anymore. They make you look bad, and they give you calluses, blisters, bunions, and shin splints. I know these things because I started out working in a shoe store. Now I work in a head store. And the shit I do every day just comes out of my head. I made it to the top, and so can you. Now that we at least imagine those things getting out of your head, I want you to really take a second. Take a second and imagine what your life would be like without them. Great. Now that you've done that, you're ready for day one of my mental boot camp. Welcome aboard, people. Your instructor is on his way, and I hear he's very good looking. Part three, orientation. A pep talk. Welcome to Mental Boot Camp. It's time to whip that mind into shape. Glad you made it here. I know it wasn't easy. Oh, nice shoes. Stand up tall and confident and proud, as you should be at all times, and listen to what I have to say. I won't repeat it because I'm making this part up as I go along. But I'm going to say this from the heart. These are challenging times. Only the strong survive. And by the strong, I mean the people with a strong mindset to make it through this particular place that we are in as a society. Because we're taking steps backwards. We really are going backwards. There are people who are trying to fucking repeat times of old. Racism is becoming popular. Hate crimes are becoming popular. There are a lot of good people who are focusing on the negative people who choose to hate. Energy flows where attention goes. And some of that attention is just emboldening the negative forces in the world. There are many reasons for this, but one is because people who can't get positive attention often opt for negative attention rather than get no attention at all. But before you panic, though, here's some good news. There's a way out for you personally. And you can lead by example. Let's put you in a position to celebrate the positivity. It's easy to get trapped talking about what's bad. But after the day, we are no longer going to choose easy. We're going to decide to celebrate the positive. Together, let's change the narrative and talk about what's good. In most cases, good and bad are matters of perspective. For example, everyone makes mistakes. But a mistake is not a bad thing unless you decide that it is. Even without my experiences here, you are already a wealth of experiences on your own. These experiences are nuggets of gold. And with perspective, they contain valuable wisdom. All you had to do to get them was fuck up. My kids are at a great advantage because of all they gain from their dumbass dad and the mistakes I've made. But why limit it to just my kids? You can benefit from their dumbass dad too. The scary thing about myself is that I feel that after the age 40, I just processed the concept and understanding of what my true value and purpose is and what it can be. All this time, all this work, all this energy and effort, all the success has prepared me for what's about to come. Because the biggest has yet to come. I'm able to think this way because I'm focused on what serves my life and my purpose and chasing my best, not what serves the agenda of other people. I'm always building on the past, growing and moving forward. For me, there's no such thing as relaxation, simply because there's no such thing as being comfortable. I want you to understand that the guy that you are listening to right now, that you may think is a machine and goes harder than anybody else, or just talks about going nine fucking stop, I want you to really understand that I do get after it. I truly want you to understand that success is earned, it's not given. I am driven by the same thing I want you to be driven by. Big questions. If your questions are big enough and positive enough, you can transcend the ordinary. Here are the questions I ask myself. What am I building? What is the end game? And when you get to the end game, is it really the end? When I die, what will other people talk about? What will the conversation be like? What is the legacy I'm leaving for my children? I can't answer those questions. But I'll be damned if I can't put a fucking great situation together that guarantees I'll be proud to hear what people have to say. I'll be damned if I can't put a great display of life together while I'm here. And I'll be damned if you can't do it too. I know you can. Whether you want to change the world or just your world, it's the same thing. The end game is really noticing, oh shit, you know what? I did it my way. And in doing it my way, I achieved things that I never dreamed or imagined I would be able to. And I also failed and I didn't do some things. So I went back and I've redid them. And whatever people may say, I appreciate my individual journey. I want you to look in the mirror right now and say, yeah, I'm proud of myself. Really feel a deep respect and admiration for your grind, your will, your effort, your blood, sweat, and tears. Because all those things are you. And this is where we are starting. Loving who you are today. Now ask yourself some hard questions. What path are you on now? Who chose the path? Where is it ultimately leading if you don't change anything? Whose approval do you seek? How far will you go off your path to get it? What decisions are you making out of fear? What decisions are you making out of joy? If you are marching to a beat of a drum, who or what is beating out the tempo? The only path that leads to the ultimate you, because beyond goals, that's really what we're talking about, is the path you chose yourself. Nobody is in charge of you but you. Walk away from this book with a valuable purpose and understanding of you and your ability. Start now by challenging any negative thoughts you have about yourself. I know you got what it takes because we all got it. We all wake up the same way. Some people wake up at 5, and then there's some people that are comfortable with getting up at 10. Some people don't get up at all. Which one of those people are you? If you answer 10 and you're thinking you can't do 5, well, congratulations. You're ready to begin your own personal journey of mental strength. One of the greatest skills is the ability to categorize all your bullshit as it happens and putting it into a place where you can say, all right, look, eventually I can dump this. I can dump that. Oh, you know, how do I dump this other bullshit? All the information you need to take care of yourself in the best possible way is out there. It's up to us as people to choose to either ignore it or dump our bullshit and use it. Me? Oh, I'm going to use it. You think I'm busting my ass and putting in 110% into every single day of my life and career to not be healthy and to die soon? So I cannot enjoy what I've built? Is that what I'm doing? Do I not want to see the benefits of hard work? Of course I do. And I want to watch my children benefit from all this work too, for as long as I can. I choose to take care of myself so I can be an example to them and to you of how much you're able to do and get done within your lifespan by simply giving a shit. So are you a wake up at 5 person or a wake up at 10 person or a don't even get up person? Here's some more good news. It doesn't matter because the real answer is whatever you choose to be. It's your path, your drum, your beat. Just get to stepping. Are you ready to get your equipment? Now, wait, don't slow down. Ain't no need to rush. There's plenty for everyone. Weapons training. All right. Now that you've been motivated and cleared your head of the useless bullshit that weighs most people down and keeps them standing in place, you're ready to pick up and deploy the weapons of success. I want you to take a look at each item I present, really study it, feel it, and get comfortable with it. Then after that, place it in your mental arsenal if it's not already there. Success, they say, is where preparation meets opportunity. And there are two kinds of preparation. One is dedication to your personal craft, to the specific skill set you need to reach your goal. The other is to prepare your life and your mind to find, embrace, and receive that success. But these weapons offer more than that. When you feel safe, like you can protect yourself, you'll be willing to journey further into the unknown and take on bigger risks. So these weapons are not just for preparation. They'll also lead to more opportunity. The following are the core weapons of mental toughness, most of which you'll be using to fight the internal battles and making your daily decisions. You'll need to deploy them at different times, and you will use them repeatedly. Most importantly, the more you use a new tool, the better you'll get with it. So be patient with yourself at first, okay? Repetition breeds competence. At first, you might forget that you have these weapons. You might fumble, might be slow on the draw. But as you practice and keep reminding yourself to wield them, they will become second nature. You'll pull them out by force of habit, becoming more skilled and precise in time. They will become instinct. They will become part of you. Okay, there are 15 of these. The 15 because my last list had 11. And I feel like I need to go bigger. So I started with 11. Now we're shooting to 15. Okay? You go big or you go home. You understand. Look, I hope y'all are learning from all of this. All right? What I need you to do now is hold your hand out. Hold it out. I'll wait. You got your hand out? I'm going to assume that you said yes. Right now, I want you to feel the power of this first beautiful weapon to walk out into the world with. Number one, positive mindset. Did you feel that? Did you feel that? No matter what you are trying to do, you're going to face negativity. In the age of the internet, negativity surrounds us constantly. Even if it's not about you, it's bathing your brain in stress. In the early days of the internet, more people were talking about cat videos that made them smile. Now you can't look at your computer or your phone without seeing this week's pick of negative bullshit. Who got beat? Who got killed? Who got cheated on? Who got caught with weed? Who's going to jail? Who's destroying the country? Who's spreading hate? That's it. That's all we're talking about online. What's the last story you saw about someone spreading love? And if you did see that story, how many minutes was it up until people were hating on that person who was actually spreading the love? We are living in the most shit-talking time in human history. There has never been so much shit-talked and spread so quickly. And it's easy to talk shit. The problem is that all this shit-talking makes it harder to achieve something in life. Not just because of the negativity, but because our brains are wired for survival. And one of our biggest fears is being banished from the tribe. Back in old days, the worst punishment you could get was to be kicked out of the tribe. It was the same as a death sentence, because you couldn't survive on your own. However, if we don't do anything in order to avoid the negativity, then we wasted this life. You have to risk negativity, risk banishment, risk psychological death to have a life worth living. Just look up the celebrity or public figure you most admire online, along with the word scandal. Don't just check out Kevin Hart's scandal. I had to keep you reading for weeks. I recently Googled myself. It's fucking embarrassing. Y'all need to take some of this shit down. Does anybody know how to clean up my Google search? No? If you know anybody that can clean up a Google search, please connect me with them. My shit is just goddamn filthy. Bottom line, think about people who changed the world, like Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, Mother Teresa. Now search their name along with the word scandal and see what comes up. Now imagine if you had the whole world shouting those things at you, whether or not you did them. Could you still keep your mental strong? Decide to press forward and succeed on an even bigger scale? Because here's the secret. Most people hate change. Most people don't like something new. So if you want to make an impact, you have to deal with negativity and people exposing the worst things about you. And somehow, you have to take the appropriate steps to thrive and move forward on your mission. So remember these three words. Mindset is everything. It all starts here. How you interpret other people and your environment and how you feel about yourself and your direction in life shapes everything you do. It's all a function of your mindset. Our default setting is usually to move through our days like our internal states are automatic functions of cause and effect, and we're at the mercy of it. You wake up, feel a certain way, and that's it. That's your baseline for the day. But every moment brings a decision. You can decide to feel miserable and feel limited. Or you can decide to feel optimistic and expansive and an enduring sense of possibility. You can decide to see the worst intentions in somebody or decide to have empathy and understanding for what led them to act that way. You can also decide to apply yourself every day or stay in neutral and let life pass you by. Positive mindset is so key because when you have it, it makes you completely free. It means you have somehow figured out a way to think about the bright side, no matter what. You don't let yourself get stuck walking in circles, dwelling on negative. You keep your head up and you keep moving forward. That's one of the biggest messages I got for you. Negativity, when it's not processed, is completely unproductive. It does nothing for you. It gets you nowhere. It brings you and other people down. I really want you to see that. But if you take a second, you can always take something positive from the negative. Because all your major downs in life are just preparing you for the major ups. Every chapter has a lesson that builds on the one before. That is, at least if you have your eyes open to see it. Understand that all of this shit that you go through, it's only preparing you for the moment where that education is supposed to become of use. with a positive mindset, you can't be stopped. You can't be knocked down, at least for long. How can you be held back when every obstacle becomes an opportunity? When every trial and tribulation life throws at you becomes a gift to make you grow and become stronger. This is one of the biggest things that trip people up, making speed bumps out to be mountains. Their minds have been trained to see the simplest upsets as the end of their goddamn life. Their negative mindset is locked looking downward at the problem instead of looking past it and staying focused on solutions, asking, how do I keep moving? Do I need to tackle this? Or should I just make a left turn and not waste a second of my time? This guy, Napoleon Hill, had a beautiful spin on the moments when things don't work out the way you plan and unexpected hardship falls on you. Instead of coming from a negative place and looking at those moments as failure, he called it temporary defeat. Damn. Do you feel the difference in that? One has a period that weighs 1,000 pounds. Failure, end of story. The other has momentum. You hear the words and you know that the story isn't over. You're left waiting for the next line. Jail today don't mean jail tomorrow. Divorce today doesn't mean you won't get married again. Nothing short of death is the end of the world. It's not over. Don't give up. It's a long life that we live. Very long life. How do we take advantage of this one life and make the most of it? Keep a positive mindset. It doesn't matter what journey we decide to embark upon. When you depart with the automatic mental position of wanting to be the best possible version of you that you can be, you will succeed. But if you come out the gate with the what ifs and the thoughts like, oh my God, what if I fail? That just means that you've already failed. Your arrow is going to land where you've set your sights. If you lower them by indulging in fear and negativity, then that's where you'll end up. If you raise them, stay positive, and keep your aim high, you'll end up at that level. You just need to have the confidence and belief in yourself to raise your gaze up that high. The gravity of this world will pull you toward a negative mindset 99% of the time. The constant static of negativity is deafening, but it's completely fucking useless. It's just noise. It nurtures self-doubt, judgment, and comparison. But positivity, oh, positivity is creative. It's generative. It's beautiful. It's inspiring. Positivity uplifts and encourages. Positivity creates options and possibility. Positivity is movement. Positivity makes room for hope. Positivity is freedom. The higher you climb, the more attention and pressure you have coming at you. And so, the more dialed in your positive mindset must be. Otherwise, the world is going to tear you to shreds. A positive mindset isn't about feeling like you've got sunshine and rainbows on the inside all the time. Sometimes you need to move through harder feelings and harder times. But throughout that, positivity means not collapsing and giving in to feeling resigned and defeated. Sometimes life is hard. I just want you to know that you can handle it and that every storm will pass. I stand in front of you as a man who has been in every type of storm that you can imagine. I've been blown in every direction. And after the wind stopped, after I was sitting there by myself, I chose to get up, brush myself off, and continue to walk in a forward direction. The reason why is because you have to really understand what the true meaning is behind life, man. There's a start and there's an end. There's a start and an end. You all start in the same place. And we'll get old and it'll end. All of that stuff that happens in the middle, it's all helping you to basically be a fucking great example to those that are coming after you. It's all fucking education. It's all knowledge. It's all wisdom. Somebody's going to get it all. Kids, family, whomever. Somebody's going to get all of this shit that you did, that you went through. They're going to get it. They're going to get it. They're going to see it. They're going to understand it. And they're going to be able to make life choices based off of the shit that you did. They're going to know what to do, what not to do based off of the things that you did. So the reason why I get up, the reason why I'm not affected, the reason why I keep a positive mindset is because I know that my kids are going to be able to take all of this. And I'm not talking about the fucking money. I'm not talking about a lifestyle. I'm talking about the knowledge. I want my kids to be headstrong. That's what's important. Because you can have it all. You can have it all and not have a good mindset. And that all will be lost. It'll be lost. Because you'll be easily affected. And if you're easily affected, that's a really tough thing. It's a really tough thing because that's what people prey on. We live in a world where they prey on that. We prey on those that are affected and that are bothered. That's the best movie in town. Best movie in town is watching a person become affected by the negative bullshit that is thrown their way. Watching a person go down that downward spiral. I don't like to see that. I don't support that. Instead, I stand by those people that are affected, and I encourage them to simply understand their self-worth, and I encourage them to understand that life moves on no matter what. No matter what. The dopest thing in the world is getting up after you get knocked down, because so many people stay down. I mean, I can't go through all the stories, because we'll be here all day. We'll be here all fucking day. I'm not supposed to be a movie star. I'm not supposed to be a successful comedian. I wasn't supposed to make it out the hood. I have no education, so how did I do the things that I do? How am I a CEO? How am I running a company or companies? I went to community college for 2 weeks. How is this guy achieving all the things that he's not supposed to do according to what people say? It's because he's not affected by the conversation of others. I'm only affected by me. Point blank. Point blank. Develop it. Try. Try to simply understand what a positive mindset really can do for you. Turn the negatives into positives, man. I did. Let's go to number two. This is a good one. What isness? I repeat, number two, what isness? In a game of mental strength, developing a capacity for what isness is going to be one of the weapons you use most often. When you've trained your mind to use it, this will change your life and your relationships. What isness is a part of positive mindset, but it's a very important part. It's the first thing that kicks into gear before the energy positivity actually begins to flow. What isness is accepting everything for what it is. If and when shit happens, it is what it is. You're at a peace with nature of this new reality. What? Are you going to tell me you built a secret time machine and you're going to use to travel back in the past and unfuck this situation? No, I didn't think so. So why spend a second of time complaining about it, fighting it, or resisting it? There's stimulus and there's response. What people put between the two is their story and opinion about the stimulus, which fucks up the way that they respond. It doesn't matter if you dislike something that happened or find it inconvenient or uncomfortable. The only thing that's true is that it happened. Now, what are you going to do about it? Get with what is. Ditch your stories and judgments about what is and just be with it. Work with it. Move with it. Anything less than that is a complete goddamn waste of time. All you'll be doing is indulging negativity and staying stuck. In the words of Bruce Lee, be like water. That's how he said it. Be like water. He knew the secret to life. To staying centered and strong was flow. People create so much friction and agitation in themselves by not accepting the reality of their situation. They want to be in denial about it, or be right about it, or wish it was different. Well, it ain't. It's not. And you're probably not right. And you're definitely wasting your motherfucking time. Go ahead, I'll wait. Keep walking in circles, staring at the ground, foaming at the mouth, spouting off all that negativity. Let's see how many years of your life you want to spend standing in place, avoiding the truth, and making yourself and everybody around you feel like shit. How are you going to learn if you can't let yourself be wrong? How are you going to create the future if you're stuck in the past? People can spend days and even years complaining about something that happened to them or why something is the way it is. It hasn't even occurred to them to drop the useless, idle tools of blame and victimhood. How dare life inconvenience me? Oh, Lord, what did I do to deserve this? Why me? They're acting like entitled, stubborn-ass boulders, not water. They're stuck in a fixed position, inflexible, immovable in all wrong ways, thinking they deserve something different or better than what they've been given. Now, when you bring your what-isness to any situation, you have a sense of peace and clarity about your mind. You can think about your next steps. You can see what you did wrong and either correct it in the moment or remember that lesson for the next time you're in that place. Sometimes there isn't anything to do but just sit there and take it. Some of the things that are in life aren't problems to be solved, but realities to allow. My daughter told me that she hated school. I hate school. Keep in mind, my daughter is a straight-A student. Every once in a while, it's a B in there. Hates it. Dad, I hate school. I said, does that mean that you don't have to go? No. You still got to go, right? Every day. Yes. So, you hating school is going to do what? Nothing. You make every day tough by going into school with hate. Every day. Every day that you go to school is going to be a tough day because you already hate it going into it. You still got to do it. So why don't you just accept the fact that you got to give me at least 18 years of school? Accept it. Make the best of it. You spending all this time being negative about something that you have to do anyway is not doing anything to change it. Make the best of it. My daughter went, sat by herself for a while, came back. Dad, you're right. I love seeing my friends at school. I just think sometimes it's too hard. But you're right. I got to do it anyway. I'm going to try to make the best of it. That was a proud moment for me as a father. Because she processed what I told her. She didn't go get an attitude, walk off and storm out. She went by herself and thought and came back and gave me a rebuttal based off of the information that I gave her. Sometimes we're bitching and complaining about the shit that we can't fucking change. Make the best of those moments, complete those moments. And after completing them, move on from them. Rather than sitting there and letting it fuck up and then move on from them. That's my suggestion. Be like water. Allow, adapt, and keep moving. Now, I don't want this to be misconstrued for if you're in a dangerous situation in your life, to take it. If you're being mistreated, to just sit there and take it. No, that is not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the things that you set out to do that you know that you have to do in order to get to the goal at hand. For example, if you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, if you want to be a journalist, if you want to be an editor, if you want to be a basketball player, if you want to be a swimmer, if you want to be a teacher, if you want to finish school and get your master's, there's so much time and energy that goes into these things. And these are just examples. I'm leaving out so many. The point that I'm making is that it takes an abundance of work to get there. So while doing the work, while doing the thing that's needed to get you to where you want to go, making it harder by bitching, complaining, and hating it does nothing. It's a waste of time. Be like water, allow, adapt, and keep moving, and finish. That's not a fart. My stomach growled. So if y'all heard that, I didn't fart just now. And I hated that that came at the end of such a positive rant. The timing couldn't have been worse for that stomach growl. I haven't eaten. So my stomach is, I'm hungry, and that's what it is. Maybe I edit that out. No, keep it. Fuck that. It's about being transparent. So we're going to keep that stomach growl slash could possibly be in a fart. We're going to keep that in there. We're going to keep it going. Number 3, consistency. Like the body, the mind is a set of muscles trained to operate in a certain way. If you want to make it stronger or start changing the way it works, you have to put in the repetitions and practice week over week to get results. Especially when it comes to trying to improve your health and your wellness. Consistency is one of the biggest obstacles that you'll have to overcome. The changes are incremental and multiply over time. Consistency is important not just because it takes the time to build things, but because it gives your mind an opportunity to see new results, to see what you're capable of and change its belief systems around what's possible for you. For example, it takes consistent discipline to stick to a diet. You say, I'm not going to have such and such, right? Maybe it's red meat or cheese or cookies or Jack Daniels or whatever. And you say that for this amount of time. It's a series of daily decisions about what you will and won't put into your body. When you actually follow through with that and you haven't eaten it for even a week and you look up and you think to yourself, damn, you know what? I said I was going to do this and then I went and did it. Wow, look at that. I am capable of changing myself. What else can I do? Deciding to do something and going past whatever the goal was that you set is a major mental achievement. You get to feel proud of yourself for completing something. You feel good for successfully controlling yourself and doing something positive. You'll find that a lot of those simple things are so valuable, whether it's cutting back on drinking, smoking, television, or other bad habits. You get to prove to yourself that you can make the decision to take control anytime you want. It's one of the biggest mental achievements that you can make. It's massive to prove to yourself that you can have complete control over you and that nobody is capable of managing you better than you can manage yourself. In fact, if you think anyone else can manage you but yourself, you're not operating in reality. It could be as simple as going to bed at this time and waking up at that time. It could be being the first one in the office and the last one out, or the first one in the gym and the last one out. And it's all just practice. All it takes is getting up, intentionally applying your mind over the course of whatever period of time and doing it. Being consistent in new behaviors creates proof positive that you're an independent, powerful, creative, strong, functional person. Without consistency, there's also no improvement in learning. There's nothing to pivot from and get leverage to the next level. There's no opportunity to reflect on prior executions. There's no refinement. How can you sink three-pointers time and time again if you don't spend time at the hoop? If you ain't in the gym shooting every fucking day, it ain't gonna happen. You think anybody can step into a comedy club and kill it on their first try? Show me the funniest person you know, and I'll show you somebody that's about to have one of the most embarrassing experiences of their life. The word consistency, it isn't pretty or sexy or exciting. It's not trending. It doesn't have buzz. But this is what separates the professionals from the amateurs and the fit from the flabby. What I found through health and fitness is that it's a constant journey of consistent self-improvement. And through this journey, you'll realize that you have your good days and that you have your bad days. But you'll also realize that it's a consistent growth if you want it to be. Because you can look at your body and you can feel good or you can feel bad. You can feel sluggish. You can feel not like yourself. But when you're feeling your best, you'll find that it's because of the decisions you made to put the work into yourself to feel your absolute best. When you take a few days off and you look up and suddenly it's been 2 weeks, that has been 3 weeks and you haven't been to the gym or you haven't done anything and you're just not feeling like yourself, it's because you know what it feels like to be at your best. That's where that feeling comes from. You've had the feeling of knowing, you've had the feeling of being your best. So when it's anything but that, you know, you feel that. So when you start feeling down, it's because you know that you're not doing what you're supposed to do and applying yourself 100% in order to give yourself the best possible opportunity to be great. Consistency defends against the frequent funks that come from losing momentum. Through physical fitness, I've learned that, oh shit, every day I get up and there's changes. Oh wow, look at my arms. Holy shit, my chest. Damn, my abs. Oh wow, look at this. I'm leaning out. I'm getting a little toner. Oh shit, I want to see more of this. I'm going to work harder to see more of this. The same goes for the professional side of life. You begin to see results build over time, and it makes you want to put in even more work. Consistency inspires consistency. I love to use examples of myself and examples of my kids. You know, my son, he's getting older and he got to a point now where, you know, he has to study. And he hates it. Of course he does. He's a kid. What kid loves to study and loves to do homework? Especially when there's shit to play. Video games, your friends, bikes to ride, etc. So all there is complaining. There's bitching whenever it's time to study. But then when they take the test and they get the test back, my son goes, "Dad, I got a 98. And he comes in and he's hype as hell, eyes lit up, proud. "Look, Dad, a 98. And you go, "How'd you get the 98? And he goes, "From studying." "How does it feel knowing that you got a 98? "Dad, it feels great. It feels great that I'm so happy I passed the test. I got an A. Only 3 people in the class got an A." That's the benefit of studying, son. "I know, Dad. I can't wait to study again because I want to feel this again." My son studied again, and his next test, he got like a B+. But it wasn't an A. He was fucking depressed. He was down. I had to tell him that it was okay. He was depressed because he knew what the feeling of an A was. And he felt that he put the same work in to get another A. So when he came up short from getting that A, he was down on himself. I had to make him feel better about it. So now every study session, it's not a forced thing. I'm not begging and fucking pleading for him to go get the work done. "Hey, you study?" "Yeah, Dad, I'm upstairs. I'm studying now. As soon as I get home, I do it. I knock out my 2 hours. I get it out the way." It's not even a question. Because he wants it for himself because he saw the benefit of putting in the work. I don't care how long it takes, people. You will see the benefit from your consistency. You will see the benefit from you putting the work in to your craft, to your goal, to your dream. It will pay off. I don't care how long it takes. It'll happen. I was on the road for I don't know how long doing comedy. Slaving the roads, driving back and forth. Hours and miles on fucking cars. Making no money. Making enough to pay the fucking bills. Doing it week in, week out, week in, week out. Week in, weekend, out, 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 in, out, out. Cut 2 years later, I'm sitting where I'm sitting. It will pay off. Do the fucking work. Don't bitch about it along the way. Shortcuts are for suckers. That's my motto. Shortcuts are for suckers. I'm going to take the hard way. So many more benefits from the hard way. So much more education and understanding from the hard way. I want what's earned, not given. Point blank. Let's go to number 4. Reliability. Being reliable is no simple task. Especially in this crazy, chaotic time where we're drowning in media and technology, it's a trait that you really find in people. To be reliable means having an impeccable relationship with your time and obligations. When you tell someone you'll do something or you'll be somewhere, you follow through and back it up with action. Making empty promises and casually throwing out a yes to appease people breeds weakness and flakiness. When you bring consistency to something like being reliable, it creates a profound sense of confidence in yourself. You come to know in your bones that what you think and what you say, you can create and do. I can't think of anything more powerful than that. This is where you truly start to feel like you can do anything you set your mind to. There's really no way to communicate how it feels when you start being more reliable. It's like changing the way you experience colors. You can describe it. But being on the inside of the experience is really the only way to truly get how profound this shift is. What does it take to be reliable? You gotta have a sharp awareness of your schedule and commitments because you have to know what you can and can't do. In order to deliver on things and show up places, you have to control the amount of things you take on. You have to have the courage and self-respect to be able to say no. A lot of people don't know how to sit in the uncomfortable position of telling people that simple word. They're afraid to disappoint others or never learn to stand up for themselves. They say sure to every single request that gets thrown at them. They don't know what they want or what they stand for. What they're left with is a graveyard of broken promises and half-assed results. So they're overwhelmed and can't fully give themselves to any one thing. Start practicing being reliable now. Because as you start to get some success, that little drip of requests can turn into a constant tsunami. People will be hitting you up for your services or your money or your time. You can't give it to everybody. If you give too much away, you become spread out and ineffective. Stay concentrated. Stay impactful. This is the benefit of reliability. If you want to have solid relationships in your life, reliability will also get you there. Too often, people get caught up in the hustle and begin to let their partners or family and friends start to slip. They flake on plans and start showing up late everywhere they go. The damage this causes is not worth any success you think you're getting. Trust me. I pride myself on being on time. You know why? Because I don't want people to waste my fucking time. Don't waste my fucking time. So if I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be there. And when I get there, I'm hoping that you understand what it took for me to get there. So I'm hoping that shit will be right when I get there. Because you got one time to fuck up my time. You got one time. Because I don't just give my time up. I value and I understand and appreciate time. If I'm on a movie set, guess what? I have respect for the studio that's paying for the set. The studio is spending hundreds of millions of dollars on this movie set. They don't have time to wait for me, whether I'm the star or not. Let me get my ass to set on fucking time. Because in conversation, you're never going to be able to say that Kevin Hart has no respect for time. You're never going to be able to associate that negativity with my name. Tardiness is key in success. In any job you fucking work for, you got to be on fucking time. The world operates on time. All of that goes back to reliability. You can rely on me. Ask yourself, can people rely on you? Or are you always in question? Nah, man, I don't know if we should fuck with James. You know James ain't going to be here. Nah, man, I ain't trying to fuck with James. James always got some shit that came up. No, don't invite Brenda, because Brenda ain't going to get here till an hour after. Are you the person that if we all get on an airplane, we got to lie to you and tell you the plane is taking off 2 hours earlier? Are you that person? Are you the person if we all going to meet up for dinner that we got to lie to you and say the dinner's at 6 o'clock when it's really at 9 because we know you ain't going to get there? That's sad if you are. That's fucking sad. Because that's something that you control and that you can change. Reliability. Be reliable. You know what I found is that people tend to gravitate towards a reliable person. They just do. The reason why is because they can trust them. While they silently avoid the unreliable person. Here's a fact. All the unreliable people have left around them is other unreliable people. Because hanging around each other makes them feel comfortable in excusing and normalizing their shifty habits and broken promises. Like I said, the only person that can change anything about your life is you. So if you can't rely on yourself, what hope do you have? You know who else relies on you? Children. If you have kids, reliability is that much more important. Your life is already an important and good enough reason to be mastering your mental. But if you have other little lives and minds dependent on your mental game, then you better develop some reliability. Everything you do is a demonstration of how to live life. Everything leaves an imprint. So if you don't show up for them, they don't feel like they matter. That's the ultimate message any kid is constantly trying to get from their caregivers. I matter. How